Now today I want to share some thoughts that come from an interaction between Moses and the little known person in our scriptures, Jethro. No, not that Jethro. No, not that. That's Leroy Jethro Gibbs from MCIS. Not that. Oh, there. Okay, there we go. Man, it's more like it. Thanks. Isn't our tech team the best? Jethro in our scripture is the father-in-law of Moses. When Moses fled Egypt after killing the Egyptian soldier, he was offered hospitality by the Midianites. And Moses married the daughter of the Midian priest, Jethro. The name of his wife was Zipporah, and she became the mother of Eleazar and Gershom. Now, the names of Moses and Zipporah's sons are very meaningful and indicate the nature of the Israelite community itself. Moses was very content living with the Midianites in his self-imposed exile after leading his self-imposed exile from the people in Egypt. It was a big thing when he killed that slave. And so he was welcomed by the Midianite people, and they were a nomadic tribe that were also from the lineage of Abraham. So they're kind of cousins of the Israelite people. And God called Moses, remember the burning bush, to set his people free. So Moses, after giving God several excellent excuses why he shouldn't do it, was still imposed upon by God to set his people free. And after several conversations with the Pharaoh and a few plagues, 10 of them to be exact, Pharaoh set God's people free and the great Exodus begins. And we're not sure if Moses' family were with Jethro that entire time in which Moses interacted with the Pharaoh, whether the Zipporah and the boys were with Moses at some time and then returned to the father Jethro. But and remember, I said their names were important, right? So Gershom means an alien or a stranger over there. And the name Eleazar means my God is my helper, or just God is my helper. Acknowledging God's assistance in saving Moses and God's people from the swords of the Egyptians. In the names of those boys announce the very identity of the Israelite community of faith. God's people are aliens in a foreign land, and they had been helped and protected by their God. Sometimes the church is like an alien in a foreign land. We're searching our way through uncharted territories. I so wonder about how the church survived those years after the pandemic. And it's something else to think about. We're searching our way through in uncharted territories today. Territories of violence and demoralizing racism and sexism, the hatred of others who are just different from us. It's only by God's help and guidance that we have and will make our way in this world as the people of God, the church. We're almost caught up now to the actual reading for today. Jethro hears the great things that God has done for Moses and his people, and he's glad and he's proud of his son-in-law. And we're told early in the 18th chapter of Exodus that Zipporah, Gershom, and Eleazar are with with Jethro, and Jethro begins to plan a family reunion. And in verse 6 we read, he sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons. And we read that Moses went out and he kisses his father-in-law, bows down before him, and they kind of inquire about how each of them are doing and how they're doing. Now, What I don't like about this is I always found the absence of Zipporah in this meeting interesting. I hope at least he gave her a peck on the cheek and tousled the hair of his sons. But there's an important element to this meeting of Moses with his father-in-law, and that is that we should celebrate community at every opportunity that we are given. To remember and to review the positive elements of our lives helps us to remember the goodness in our lives with which God has blessed us. Then we need to remember and rehearse the telling of our blessings. Because when things are not so good, when we are challenged in life, we need to remember the constant that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. We need to remember that. We need to rehearse it. We need to remember that always. In verse 8, Moses tells us the hardships that beset them on their way and how God was always with them. They remembered God was with them. And on this rally day 2025, I want to share that we are a blessed community that has experienced hardship. We're about to begin another session of partnership meetings. For those of you who are kind of wondering, you've been around for a while and haven't been asked to join the church, we're going to have another membership class coming up this fall. It's possible for us to actually grow in membership by the end of this year if enough people join in that class. But more than that, I believe our people have grown spiritually throughout these past few years, connecting more with God in deep and meaningful ways. Certainly, Coach Patty has had a very relevant and wonderful ministry here, working with our youth. And we took a real hit a couple years ago with graduates, so many graduation parties. And our youth group immediately took a dip in its size. But I know people say, you know, where are all the youth? Well, they're here. They're here. But you come on Sunday evening, they're really here. We have a group of about 12 to 15 youth that come every week, very supportive of each other. Our Little Sprouts is doing well, despite the fact that preschool education is free through the public school system. But people know the value of good experiences and good teaching for their children in our Little Sprouts program, which has existed for over 50 years. And the directors of the Little Sprouts, Monica and Mary, are here. I'm going to give you a little shout out. Just wave your hands. There they are back there. Right there. Friends, we're planning a generosity campaign that I hope and that it will bear great fruit for our new year as we look to 2026 and supporting our ministry. It is my personal goal that we will have 175 people on a day to consecrate our plan for giving and supporting our ministries in 2026. Just throwing that out there. I'm going to visualize it and hope it happens and pray that it happens and work at making it happen. It is very important to remember, review, and rehearse our blessings. So we're pretty much caught up in this scripture for today, right? Our reading this morning, Jethro rejoiced in what God was doing for his son-in-law, for the Israelite people. That blessing and celebration of God was concluded with a burnt offering that Jethro made, and Aaron, who is the priest of the Israelite people, he comes with the elders. They have that burnt offering, and you know they offer the burnt offering, and then they cut up the meat, and then they have a banquet. So they had a banquet, and they're having a good time. They ate bread and settled in for the night. Now, we're not told this in Scripture, but I hope that Moses got to spend some quality time with his wife and sons. I'm really worried about them. You know, you got to show a little more attention there in that reunion, because it can't be all about Jethro. But that's exactly the way it seems, right? Because the next day, we're told that in verse 13 that Moses had to work, judging the disputes of his people and peaceably settling their differences. And the image we should imagine is hundreds of people lined up around Moses, you know, people who want their disputes, decided by him. I don't know if they're standing beside each other or what, but it's very, very interesting to think about. And Jethro comes to watch Moses at work, sort of a, you know, bring your father-in-law to work day. And it's not long before Jethro has some observations to share with Moses about how he's doing his job. Now, some of you know that my father-in-law was a United Methodist pastor. He retired young in his early 60s. He moved to Colorado, was involved in very exciting missionary work all over the world. He settled with a 10-year experience in Haiti, working on creating a seminary there, and just an incredible man, an incredible ministry. And he did offer me guidance every once in a while. And it was always good, wide sweeping principles that have proven very helpful in my ministries. And also gifts. He and my mother-in-law gave me gifts for ministry. Certain books that I probably wouldn't have bought for myself and that were very helpful. And that's the other thing about Dad, my father-in-law, Ruth's dad. Oh, she's gone to work. making everything work out back there for the party afterwards. Would give me gifts, and he wrote a boatload of books after he retired, and they were just so good. So I heeded his and welcomed his help and his observations. Well, Jethro was not as reserved as my father-in-law, however, in giving advice. Jethro saw what Moses was doing for the people, and he asked, "What is it that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone while all the people stand around you morning until evening?" And Moses says, "Well, they got disputes, and I got to settle them for them." And Jethro says, "What you're doing is not good." Put it right out there, didn't he? He makes it known that he needs to offer him this advice. Now, pastor and author Kevin Kleiman writes, quote, "Let's notice four things that Jethro does as he gives advice to Moses and take these lessons for ourselves. First is attend. Jethro goes and he gives Moses his attention. He watches him. He listens all day, apparently from morning until evening. And he waited to understand as much as he could. He observed what was happening. Second is he asked. He asked Moses, "What the heck is going on here? What are you doing?" You know? And Jethro seeks to understand, but he also asks questions to clarify what's in his mind. What's the justification for what's working here? What's at work here? Third is to affirm. We look down at verse 19. And Jethro confirms the good that Moses is doing. It's good that you're doing this, Moses. It's good that you're settling these disputes. It's good that you're trying to help people. But he says you're going to wear yourself out. You're going to wear yourselves out. You're going to wear out the people that you're working for. You ever gone to a store and they didn't pay attention to you? Or you wait in line for a long time? Or you have to go to the Secretary of State or something like that? That was my experience this past week, so it's too close to home. But it's just have you ever felt like you were going to be worn out right along with the people? It's always my advice to be friendly in those circumstances. And I got a help from a very nice and friendly person. And I believe part of that was because I was trying to be very friendly with her. And we worked it all out. But fourth and finally, Jethro does offer that advice. And because this responsibility of leadership that Moses was bearing was too much for him, he's going to wear himself out. And Jethro tells Moses to share that burden with others. He tells him to look for capable leaders. It's interesting to note the qualifications he lists. This is what it says in our scriptures. You should also look for able men among all the people, men who fear God, are trustworthy, and hate dishonest gain. Set such men over them as officers over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And I know it says just men, but I do want to remind you that one of the greatest judges in our scriptures was Deborah, Judge Deborah, found in the book of Judges. In other words, Moses should consider leaders in terms of relationships, in terms of their relationship to the task, that is, can they do it? Their relationship to God, can they put their whole trust in God? Their relationship with others, are they dependable? And their relationship to money, are they trustworthy? One thing we should lift up about this exchange between Moses and Jethro is the risk that Jethro is taking in offering his advice. Jethro was not an Israelite. He was a Midianite, remember. He's a priest of Midian. And Moses is the undisputed leader of a free nation of over 1 million people. He was a big deal. And Jethro's offering this advice. And he risked offending Moses for his good, but for the good of the people also. We should remember that we are dealing with human beings here. We are dealing with egos and pride. But still we read, "So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he had said." Now, I don't know about you and how you respond to criticism. My go-to response is often to step back, be quiet, and think about what is being offered. I have to put my ego in check and search for the value of the advice. And I suspect that Moses might have done the same. It's also a good idea to recognize that not all good and wise counsel comes from within our community, but that we can learn from people who are different from us in whatever ways. Jethro was not an Israelite, but he offered Moses wise counsel. The last verse of our scripture says it all. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went off to his own country. Now, friends, this is my suggestion that as we end this message on Rally Day, that we take this wise counsel from Jethro, which was 1,300 to 1,400 years before Jesus walked the face of the earth. Friends, Central Church is a wonderful faith community that can make a difference in the lives of others who interact with us. But we need you. We need you all. We have a great staff that can do a lot, but we need servants willing to to facilitate our mission and ministry. We've already had our church conference this year, and I simply said we didn't have a chance to put together all of our committees, but that will be done by the end of this year. We've had some positions that have been remained open for a long time. We have a great staff, but they are often tired and weary. And part of our rally day is to celebrate our programs and ask you as members and friends to sign up, get involved in the programs, lend a helping hand, hone your leadership skills, and learn how to become a vital part of our ministry. And even if you cannot stay for some yummy food in the fellowship, blow through the fellowship and do that. Just a minute. Well, it's okay with me. Talk to your mom. There you go. There you go. So go through there and find out what there's sign-up places where you can sign up for different things to do, all the things that you see happen on Sunday mornings, but there's many others. Margaret, our administrative assistant in our office, has got a lot of ideas for you to help in other capacities as well. So it's my hope that you will at least go to the fellowship hall and learn about opportunities to get involved and more involved in Central Church. In the weeks come, we'll be reaching out to fill those committee positions, and we ask that all of you be there. So remember those sons of Moses and Zipporah. Gershom means foreigner and a stranger. Eliezer means God is my helper. We are in some different times. We're looking to the future, and we know that God is with us and will be our helper as well. And that's the word of God for the people of God in the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.